Good morning. Court Radio is now in session. Call 215-227-2727. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome back. I'm Dean Weitzman, your host every Saturday morning right here on 100.3 WRNB.
And Classics 107.9.
There you go. Legal's out of the way, folks, and we're off and running to a great show. If it's your first time joining us, sit back and relax. If you've got a legal issue or question, we've got the answer. To our friends on YouTube Live, you can be watching the show and listening. Simply go to the My Philly Lawyer website, click on the Court Radio link, which will take you to a button that you can press, and bada boom, you'll be in the studio watching all that happens here. Yes.
Jimmy Kimmel call you yet? I hear he needs some representation.
Yeah, poor Jimmy. That was my friend Manny Manuel Glenn. Good morning, Manuel.
Good morning, Dean. Nuggeting as usual.
Yes, I am nuggeting. I wonder if our friends who asked for T-shirts got them. If not, I'm going to get Bailey on the line today, I think.
Now, are there going to be any changes? I heard something was in the wind. But
well,
no.
You know, my daughter, Sophia.
The brilliant Sophia.
The brilliant Sophia looked at the shirt and said, "Dad, what's a nugeting?" And I was, "What? Nugeting? It's nuggeting." "No, Dad, if it's nuggeting, there's got to be two G's."
Out of the mouths of babes.
Out of the mouths of brilliant.
Brilliant babe. How old is Soap now?
Soph's 11.
Okay.
Soph's 11.
Clearly that education is paying off.
Yeah. Proof that I went to Philadelphia's finest public schools.
Back in the OC.
Shout out to Northeast High School. Anyway, we'll see. Maybe these will become collector items, you know?
How many of those have you actually put? There's only like a couple of those, right?
Yeah, 7 million. No, I don't know, like a couple hundred. Yeah. So I don't know how valuable they'll be, but we might be moving to a double G nuggeting.
This one never goes out of
sight. Never, never. Got answered.
Never.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. So anyway, our YouTube Live audience, if you have questions, you can post your questions. Please subscribe to the channel and like us. So the logarithms can be impacted successfully.
You mean, I got to correct you every single show?
All right, Dion, go ahead. What do you want to say?
You asked about shirts. Princess, our favorite YouTube viewer, said she did not get her shirt yet.
Uh-oh. All right. We're going to try.
Whoa.
We're going to get Ms. Harvey on the line in a minute. It's coming. You know, maybe we should just have like an open house at My Philly Lawyer on Tuesday when I'm down at the office. And anybody who has a need for a shirt and hasn't gotten one, they can come down to the office on Tuesday, meet me, get your shirt.
Don't park out front.
Says the man who got his car towed. How is that car doing?
And let's not have that conversation right now.
Okay. What else is going on? I still, I'm driving my new Mercedes. I love it. I was out last night very late at the old Valley Forge Casino. So
gambling again.
I'm a little tire-eyed.
Thank God I didn't lose the car.
Yeah, no, didn't lose the car yet. The house is still under construction.
That was the next question. How's it
going?
Yeah,
it's crazy. There's trades everywhere. And then one trade tries to do what another trade does. They mess things up, and now we got a big
trade,
problem.
As in trade workers.
Yeah. The
carpenter.
The carpenters were trying to be plumbers, and now we had a little bit of a flood again.
Who's getting the most work, the electricians, the carpenters, or the plumbers?
My wallet. My wallet is getting the most work.
It's getting work. Okay.
Yeah. It's a problem. All right. So let's move on to the topic today, or should I say our guest. He's been here before, but this may be the first time he's actually on the live feed. So
it's always on camera there.
It's a new thing for him. This is Robert Bob Coco. Good morning and welcome back to Court Radio.
Good morning, Dean. Thanks for having me back.
It's my pleasure. Bob hails as the credit lawyer. What exactly is it that you do, and how did you get into doing it?
So I'm a consumer protection lawyer, and one facet of that is credit repair and credit violations involving the Fair Credit Reporting Act and also state law. I got into it probably in the early 2000s when Community Legal Services was battling the predatory lending crisis. Mm. And they needed private lawyers to sue the bad banks. And so I stepped up for that and got some training from them.
What exactly is predatory lending?
So predatory lending is not really a legal term of art. It's a popular term. And what it referred to, which you don't really see anymore, although you still see problems in the mortgage industry, but predatory lending was basically lending to vulnerable members of the population in a way that was detrimental to them. Very often it was extracting all the equity from their home, putting them in a very high-priced loan that they really couldn't afford, and having lost it, it created the foreclosure crisis, in which many people lost their homes.
I got to say, I'm not sure if it's gone completely. I may have applied for a loan, and the company then sold my information to the world. And literally every single day since then, I get probably 8 calls a day on my phone telling me that I'm pre-approved and all I got to do is call the department for a few more questions and I'll get a loan. And then the terms of the loan are outrageously high. Is that some form of predatory lending?
Maybe if you take the loan.
Ah. I haven't taken the calls, but, you know,
yeah.
But it's an annoying thing, though. My phone rings all the time, and it's always these companies trying to give me these home equity.
Right?
You can
turn it off, right?
What's that game at the boardwalk when the little thing pops up?
Whack-a-mole.
It's whack-a-mole. I call one, or I get them on the phone, and I say, stop calling me. Put me on the do not call list,
right.
That's what I was just going to suggest.
And then 3 more come up. They don't call. Then they send it to their friends, and the friends call. It's crazy. I can't stop it.
Yeah, and the reason why you can is that this information is out there in the ether, and it could be extracted by people who are smarter than you and I, who know how the internet works. And
little 20-somethings.
Right. Some people are, right, exactly. Maybe younger these days.
Yeah.
All right, let's listen. What is the most, like right now, how are you making a living? Like what's the thing that comes up on your desk most frequently today that might affect or impact our listeners?
So probably the biggest issue is credit issues. Credit disputes, impermissible pulls of credit, and these could be woven into different consumer protection violations. Mortgage servicing disputes, which we haven't talked about, that's kind of replaced predatory lending. So mortgage companies who don't keep an accurate accounting of what you paid, and that could also result in foreclosure, even if the loan's otherwise affordable to you, but you had a hard time, you got sick, you lost a job, you got behind. Well, it's one thing to get behind for, 5 months if that's what's accurate, but these loans are bought and sold so many times that payments aren't transferred from one servicer to another. Now you're 10 months behind, and you can't afford to reinstate the loan for 10 months. And that also is reported on your credit, so you have a credit dispute. It's also sometimes with debt collection issues, the credit reporting pops up as another problem as well.
How can you be – because I'm always looking for the angle where you can be compensated. Like, it's not enough just to – have them stop doing it because I've got to hire you. I've got to spend money. I've got to spend time. I might have to leave my job for a day. How do I get something for me to make it worth my while to fight these big companies?
Yes, great question, Dean, and probably the most important one I guess anybody could ask in this context is that these consumer protection laws, some of which I've mentioned, federal and state laws, have provisions in them that they call them fee transfer provisions. So if you prove a violation of any of these laws against a corporation who's violating them, you're entitled to have your attorney's fees paid. That could be as a percentage of what's recovered, or I submit a petition to the court if I have to go to trial. But either way, it doesn't come out of the consumer's pocket.
See, folks, normally I will tell you that, generally speaking, you foot your own legal bills in America, right? You know, you win whatever you're suing for, but you don't get to get your attorney's fees back ordinarily unless by contract, you know, you entered into a contract and the winner, it's specified in the contract that the winner gets the attorney's fees, or if there's a statute that specifically addresses this, you may be entitled to attorney's fees. You're telling us somewhere buried in the legal statutes of consumer protection, there's actually a clause that allows people to get paid.
That's correct, Dean.
215-227-2727. If you have a legal question or you've been the victim of some consumer protection issues, now is the time to give us a call. Bob's probably got the answer. Let's talk to Marie on line one.
Good morning, Marie.
Marie, welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. So what's going on, Marie? What's happened to you that you'd like to discuss?
My bank transferred my mortgage loan to some company called Mr. Cooper.
Yes,
they said nothing.
Cooper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they said nothing would change, but everything they said would stay the same. But they sent me a letter last week, and then next month for October, I got to start paying this new person or new mortgage company. I never even heard of this Mr. Cooper mortgage company. I don't know what's going on.
You know what?
I'm kind of in dark myself.
You know what?
What?
I got the same letter last week from my mortgage company.
Stop.
I did.
Mr. Cooper? Cooper?
Yeah, for my mortgage at the Shore House. I've been with a specific bank now for 5 years. Last week, I got a letter saying, Mr. Cooper is now my new mortgage company.
Somebody bought.
Well, I've been with them for like 19 years.
You were with your original bank for 19 years, and they recently sold it to Mr. Cooper. I was with them. I was with them for five, my bank, and now I have to pay Mr. Cooper. Now I don't. I read all the documents. There's nothing that's changed in the terms. My interest rates are the same. My payments the same. Where I send my payment changes. Who I send it to changes. But nothing else. And there's nothing that I'm aware of that's improper about that process. Everything was on autopilot for me. And now I got to rejigger it. And I've got to put, you know, the new mortgage company as the payee. And it's all, you know, I could still do it online. But it's a different company. And if let's say it's a week ago and I still haven't changed anything, my mortgage payment is going to be coming due. I might forget to change it. They tell me, Mr. Cooper tells me in the letter that I have 60 days. I won't be charged any late fees. They won't report anything. I can, you know, if I miss a payment, that they're okay with that for up to 60 days while I reboot my system so that they
rejigger it.
Yeah.
Like you said.
Rejigger it.
So they become a payee. What, Marie, have you, other than you have to change who you pay, has anything else changed in the terms of your loan?
Something will change. First of all, well, they told me I don't know quite what the change is about, but the escrow. And plus, I have a credit card with this bank that's connected to my mortgage, it gives me extra, extra help or extra privileges, let's say.
Uh-huh. And they're gone.
I don't know that yet.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
And then they asked me what was my interest rate.
They asked you what your interest rate was? They should know. That. Yeah, of course they know.
I just thought I would call you.
Yeah.
Somebody could tell me, because I watch your show. Well, I listen to it every week at first. I discovered you for myself in 2020, and I've been listening ever since.
Oh, wow. 5 years. You're a 5-year listener. Thank you, Marie.
Yeah.
Let's see what Robert Coco has to say about this.
Yeah, so Marie brings up a point that I was making very quickly earlier, which is the selling of what they call servicing rights. So with modern mortgage practice, someone owns the loan and someone services it, which just really means collecting the payments from you. The standard practice is to sell those servicing rights with the fluctuations in the mortgage market. So, for example, Mr. Cooper, which is just a brand name for NationStar, which has just been recently bought by Rocket Mortgage, the whole industry is consolidating. That Mr. Cooper was a rebranding to make it sound friendlier because a lot of these mortgage companies developed bad reputations, so they came up with new names for them. But nothing should change. The problem is you know, people get that letter. That letter is not looked at timely, so they keep sending the payments to the old mortgage servicer. And the old mortgage servicer either keeps them or loses them or is very slow to send them to the new mortgage servicer. So you're really highlighting a very common scenario that people have to be alert to and look at your mail every month if you have a mortgage, because you have to be very sensitive to this and then expect if there's problems that you jump on them right away. And I talk to people all the time. I'm always happy to talk to someone about something like that process before something bad happens, because when it does happen, you can get on it. It's always important that if you're dealing with a corporation that is abusing you in some way, that you'd start documenting it internally, you know, writing it down on a piece of paper, and then so you can use that as a basis to start writing letters. On mortgage servicing issues, they're called qualified written requests. Unlike any other kind of loan you take out, a mortgage loan, you're entitled to an accounting under federal law from that mortgage company. So if they start screwing up that accounting, you're entitled to ask them for everything to support the way they're figuring out what you owe them.
All right, Marie. Well, good luck with your transfer. You and I are kind of in the same boat together. You remind me that this weekend I have to go and change who I'm paying and figure all that out. So,
well. This is my first time calling it, too, and I would like a shirt.
Ah. All right, Marie, see this?
Wait, which shirt? The nugeting shirt? Or?
Yeah. Yeah, the nugeting shirt. I got your little slip of paper here with your question. I'm going to leave that here and ask you to stay on the line, and Sarah will swing back to you at some point and get your address so I can get you a shirt. All right?
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome, Marie. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Tactic. Mark Curry's come a long way from hanging with, huh?
What?
Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
I don't even... That no. went right...
That's
that
why I said Tactic. I didn't say you. I knew you would have no clue what I was talking about. Right. Folks on YouTube know what I'm talking about. I bet you.
Yeah, we know.
Oh, you know, it's funny that you should bring up some YouTube little joke that went over my head. Last night at the casino, I'm sitting out back having a cigar. Took a little break from the action. And who's sitting across from me? These two guys who were in the movie Sandlot.
The Sandlot. The baseball player. They were kids back then.
12
right?
years old. Now they're old, ugly 50, men.
60 something, right? Aren't they?
No, they weren't old, ugly men. They were good looking guys, but they were.
You remember which two? Were they the main guys?
I don't know. That went over my head. One was a tall, skinny kid with glasses.
Was one Latino? The star was Latino.
Neither one were Latino that I'm aware of. But I don't always identify. I don't know. You know, I'm not sure who what your race.
Could they play cards?
I don't look at race.
Could they gamble?
No, they're poor, and that was the interesting thing. They get no residuals
from the movie.
Yeah, well, yeah. They're back then in the 90s. They didn't have that kind of like you know perks, and so these guys have to go around to signing events. And so they're up at the Expo Center this weekend. There's a big sports
conference or convention. I get it. Yeah.
And so but they weren't baseball players. They played a baseball player. They still go to these things, and people want their signature.
Well, the Sandlot was a cult favorite.
I guess so.
It was.
I guess so. Well, anyway, that was just a little side.
But they were at your table, you said.
No. Oh. I went out.
You went outside. That's where you saw.
To have a cigar.
Now, was it? Last night was it blackjack or poker?
It was poker. It was the what is that called? Texas Ultimate Hold'em.
And you did well?
Yeah, I made some money last night.
All right.
Yeah.
There you go.
Couple cars.
Couple cars worth of money.
Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, Valley Forge, they're not the brightest stars up there.
Look
so
at you.
I can fleece them for a
they're
little bit.
They're probably listening.
Yeah.
To me.
They might be. It's,
it don't matter.
Know,
yeah,
it
yeah,
doesn't
yeah,
matter.
Yeah.
You know, I'm.
But here it is.
I'm less sort of like a partial owner there, you know. When I walk in, I think I represent half of the of the staff there for accidents and stuff too. So
you walk in, hey Dean, it's automatically.
Oh, yeah, like a rock star.
Look at you.
215-227-2727 is the number for Court Radio on Saturday mornings. It's the number for My Philly Lawyer all week long. If you have a legal issue or problem. We probably have the answer on Saturday mornings. Give us a call. We will get your question answered. Like Abdul, line 3, Eric. Hi, Abdul. Welcome to Court Radio. Oh, Abdul.
Abdul, good morning.
Come on, brother. You have not been holding that long. You have to have a little more patience here.
It might be in a bad area.
All right. Abdul's gone.
Call back if you can.
Well, I'm going to read his question for Bob. Credit report dispute. If a company reports him to a credit bureau in error and that error has caused him to pay higher interest rates, can he sue because of that extra cost?
That's a good question. And the answer is no until you dispute it. It's not counted as damages. The credit denial is not counted as damages until you dispute the item and the credit reporting agencies don't correct the information as you request it. It's a very important point. A lot of people.
So you have to give them an opportunity to correct. You have to mitigate your damages. You have to bring to their attention the error of their ways, and then they have to blow you off.
That's exactly right.
Wow.
There's a cure regimen, and the FCRA makes it different from a lot of other laws that protect you, where you can sue out of the gate for a violation.
Well, how do you dispute that?
That's another very important point. The effective way to do it, there's multiple ways, but the effective way to do it so that it clears a path for litigation if the credit reporting agencies don't do their job is to write them a letter, the old-fashioned way, and keep it very simple. You want to tell them what's wrong. Well, first of all, you have to identify yourself, give them your Social Security number, your address, tell them what's wrong, and tell them what you want them to do to fix it, and send it certified mail.
So where are you sending that certified mail to?
You're sending it to the credit reporting agencies, not to what they call under the FCRA the furnisher of the information, which could be a creditor, debt collector, or both. It's important to send it to the credit reporting agencies because they have the statutory duty to then go to the furnisher or the creditor or debt collector and say, hey, there's a problem here. This is what the consumer's saying is wrong. What are you telling us to do about it? So the statutory party who's responsible is the credit reporting agency.
But now if the furnisher of that information then says to the credit reporting agency, no, we're not wrong, and therefore the credit reporting agency doesn't change the strike against you on your credit report, and you continue to have these damages, i.e. paying higher interest rates – when it they get to you, who are you suing? Are you suing the credit reporting agency or the furnisher of that information?
You can sue them both at that point. But the credit denial to be damages has to happen after the credit dispute. And I should also point out, which I may not have when I was just explaining how to write the letter, is you have to attach evidence of your position. So if you have an identity theft, for example, you attach a police report. If the debt was paid and they're showing it as being owed, then you show proof that you paid it.
I see. Okay. 215-227-2727. I just want to, because it's just so hilarious. I just got a text message.
From somebody you fleeced?
Somebody that you all know, Derek S.
Yeah.
From the...
Yeah.
Take me with you next time. I can blow on your dice for good luck. Okay. You know, and it's funny, Derek, that you should say that because last week when I was there.
You're not a craps guy, though.
I'm not, but I tried it. I said, let me just.
That's my game. So how'd you do?
Oh, I reserved the table. Okay. I locked an entire dice table down.
All right. Mm-hmm.
I brought some friends.
Right.
And so we were throwing dice. And it was like watching paint dry for me. You know,
boring? That's boring.
Oh my Lord!
How many guys at the table? Your guys at the table?
Yeah,
how many guys?
We took the table over. There were like eight of us.
And you were bored.
I was bored.
Craps is fast money, man.
I'm going to try it again. I don't understand it.
Is that what it is? You don't really understand?
There's a lot of odds. There's a lot of numbers.
I would think that would be something you would really like.
Failed algebra twice. I mean, it's just, you know, it's not
That's my
thing.
Game. You can make a whole lot of money fast.
All right, next crap. Time I'm bringing you.
You will?
Yeah.
All right.
All right, I'm bringing you.
Okay.
We got to get that car replaced.
Amen. Thank you.
Yeah. Line five, Alfonso.
Alfonso,
good morning and welcome to Court Radio.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I've listened to you for quite a number of years. You've helped me out on a couple of issues, and I really appreciate what you do.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I want to just say
I
bumped into the mayor a couple weeks ago and at some event, and she said, I introduced myself. Hey, good evening, Ms. Mayor. Well, I mean, you know, nice to meet you. And she said, Dean Weitzman, that name sounds familiar. Oh, wait a minute. She said, you're Philly's legal expert.
She said that?
She said it just like that. Just
well,
like
that. Well, perhaps, Dean, you should be giving her some guidance.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm going to have her come on the show. That's what I'm going to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right.
Ask her the tough questions, though.
You know me. I don't shy from tough questions.
She's kind of tough.
Absolutely.
Alfonso, what is it you need an answer to?
Sir, I don't know if you recall. Several weeks ago on the news, their consumer news, they had, you know, I'm having issues with this electric company, with these fees. They had charged me these inexorbitant amount of fees. They never notified me about how much they say they sent me emails, you know, for my online bills. And I never received emails, never received notices until they sent me a shutoff notice. My bill was like $1,000, $2,000-something. So I called in and I, you know, because people had been calling to the news and complaining about all these fees that they were amassing and not being notified, and people end up calling and getting them out of these fees back. I called in last week and asked them about my situation about waiving these fees. They said, oh, but we can only waive $30, $40 for you. And I think that's BS. Isn't there a way? I know you were talking about consumer reporting earlier. I'm driving. I was on my way to work. I have to watch this traffic, so I got a little distracted from what you were saying. I was wondering, what is your input or what do you suggest? How is there a way we can pursue these electric companies for charging these fees?
All right. I'm going to have Bob answer that question for you, Alfonso, but we're going to take a break. And Bob's going to mull that over in his consumer protection brain and come up with an answer for you when we come back in 2 minutes. Folks, if you have a legal issue, now's the time. Give us a call, 215-227-2727. We got Bob Coco, the credit lawyer, on this week, and we'll be right back. It happens every day here in Philly. You're walking your dog or headed to work, and in a split second, you're on the ground in pain because of someone else's carelessness. I'm Dean Weitzman. For over 35 years, My Philly Lawyer has been fighting for people just like you. You can't work. Medical bills are piling up, and you need cash to take care of your family. Slip and fall, we've got you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. Accidents happen. It's that simple, right? I'm Dean Weitzman. Every day someone in Philly takes a fall because someone else didn't do their job right. That's where My Philly Lawyer steps in. You need physical therapy? Check. Need someone to take on the insurance company? Check. You need cash? Check and check. We've been winning for over 35 years. Slip and fall? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. You're cruising down the boulevard listening to your tunes and bam, some idiot runs a light, messing up you and your car. I'm Dean Weitzman. Bad drivers causing accidents are a fact of life in Philly. Another fact, with over 35 years fighting for people like you, My Philly Lawyer knows how to get you the help you need and make insurance companies pay. Victim of a car accident? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of Urban One Incorporated, Radio One, or any of its subsidiary companies.
More legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Yeah, baby, I'm back right here live in the studio, 215-227-2727. We are on 100.3 WRNB.
And Classics 107.9.
And in your YouTube live feed, if you care to watch us, you can simply go to the My Philly Lawyer website, click on Court Radio, and it'll take you to a button for the live feed. Bada bing, bada boom, you're going to be in the studio getting to watch Mr. Orange Jacket. Speaking of that orange jacket, it is orange, correct?
It is orange.
All right, because I got these big lights in my eyes. I'm not sure.
As stars should have.
Yes. I just got my new iPhone. iPhone 17,
ooh.
And it's orange like a creamsicle.
Do you ask for that?
Yes, I asked for it. I ordered it.
Creamsicle orange.
Whenever Apple comes out with a new device, I'm the first one in line to get it.
But that's not it there.
It is not, because okay. The process of changing phones from one to another
is a process.
And so I did not want to mess up, you know, with Court Radio and all, so I have to spend Sunday doing my transfer while I'm watching football.
Flip? Is that the one? It doesn't flip.
No, it does not flip. Okay. It does not extend. It's just a new phone, probably meaningless, but I'm getting it anyway.
Let's go back to.
Yes. Oh, Mr. Coco. Sorry. Thank you, Eric, for redirecting me. Alfonso, you still on the line, brother?
Yes, sir. I'm still with you, sir.
Oh, my Lord. You are the man.
For sure.
So what advice would you have for Alfonso?
Well, first a question, Alfonso. Is this account for Pico on your credit report?
No.
It's not?
No.
Well, they don't put it on the credit report unless it's actually disconnected for a certain amount of time, right?
Yeah.
So if he gets disconnected
because he didn't pay fees that he believes are unjustified, what does he do? And as a side issue there, like part B in your blue book essay, if it doesn't get to the credit report, but he keeps getting these letters from the creditor saying, you owe us this money, you owe us this money. Is there anything he can do?
So to answer B first, so in this case, PICO would be a creditor, not a debt collector, as the law defines them. So there's only there's a state statute that's called the FCEAU is the acronym for it. And if you're out-of-pocket money, you can sue a creditor for treble damages if they're improperly collecting that amount from you. So if we got together and understood, and I had a better understanding because offhand I don't have any experience with PICO's billing practices, but if I got an understanding from, you know, your experience looking at historically what happened to you and can see, and maybe other sources, that these charges are improper, then they could be sued under that.
Would you then advise him to pay them and ask for the money back and, you know, that thereby creating the dispute and have a basis under which he could go through that statute?
Well, that's a good question. But I think that unless the payment of it is onerous, right? You were paying $100, now you have to pay $1,000 a month. That's almost forcing you not to pay it. But there's probably a dispute process with PICO. I don't know that you have to go through it, but you know, in order to sue or something like that, I don't think that would be the case because it's a private company. But I would probably do that first, just so you don't want to create a credit dispute for yourself, because if you can avoid it, again, as a practical matter.
So what are you saying, that even if he doesn't believe that the bill is due, just so he protects his credit score, he should pay the bill and then ask for the money back?
Well, also, yes, it's a hardship if he actually gets disconnected. You know, they have the leverage.
Right.
That too, especially if winter's coming. Yeah.
So So if he pays the bill to protect his credit, but there is a really justifiable reason for him never to have paid it in the first instance, and they refuse to send the money back, then he has a claim under that statute.
Yes.
All right. I think
Absolutely.
All right, we've given you the way to go. Bob, how does Alfonso get in touch with you when this thing blows up in his face and it sounds like it's it sounds like it's going to?
So
stop, stop.
My thank you.
All right, go ahead. How's he get you?
My office number is 215-351-0200.
All right. Okay. And you know what, Alfonso, if you can't write that down, you can always go rewatch the show and tune in at 9:40, and you'll get that number again. Because that number will live on the internet now forever. Don't change your number, Bob.
I won't.
All right, Bob. Well, thank you very much. And
you're welcome.
I appreciate it. And again, I just say to Mayor Parker, next time you see her, just say, Dean 267-2-2-7-2-7-2-7.
Okay. Other than the fact that, yes, there you go. Don't be, you know, there could be a violation of my rights there, I think, Alfonso, giving out bad info. All right, Alfonso, have a great day. Enjoy your day today. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks for doing what you do. Have a good day, you guys.
All right. So sometimes it's better to pay and request a refund and not mess your credit up.
Yeah, it happens also a lot of times when, because one of the other things I do is used car fraud cases against dealers.
You wow, that sounds like you're busy all the time on that. Used car fraud. You're probably a client of his for that.
Nah, I'm not. Not that bad. Not that bad.
What kind of claims come up under that? Like if you buy a car
and the car's
a junker, you know, can they come to you for that?
So the big issue in used car sales fraud is concealed body damage claims. So the car's been hit before, but they don't tell you about it.
Do they have to tell you about it?
They do, in certain circumstances.
Because I always thought it was buyer beware.
Well, don't they have to run a Carfax?
Yeah, I was going to say the Carfax.
So that's interesting. The Carfax is meant to take the place of what their legal duty is, but it's not sufficient to do that, because Carfax is a service that gets its information from subscribers. It would like to have access to insurance databases and law enforcement databases, but it doesn't. So it's accurate as far as what it reports, but it's incomplete. And the car dealers know that, but they don't educate the public about that. They give it to them. So if you ask a question, so there's two instances where they have to tell you the truth about the car's accident history. If you ask a question about it, right, because there's something called the Automotive Industry Trade Practices under the Pennsylvania Code, so during a sales presentation, they can't lie to you about the condition of the vehicle.
Ah, so, okay, stop right there for a moment. So, folks, anytime you go buy a used car, okay, you must ask the seller of that car, has this car ever had damage done to it that was repaired?
Well, is how you ask important? Like,
no.
Has it been hit? Has it had damage? I mean, do you have to say a specific term, phrase, legalese-wise? No,
that's a good question. But no, because they're roughly comparable, because when people ask about an accident, what they're really asking about is this car been in a collision with an object, either another car or a fixed object, and has body damage, right? Because that diminishes the value of the vehicle. That's right. Why everybody wants a Carfax. So you don't want to pay $30,000 for a used car that may have been chopped up with other parts because it got hit by a bus and is really only worth $10,000 or $5,000, because it's very easy to fool us superficially when we look at a car.
Sure.
But if you have automotive knowledge, you can see it right away. You bring that car in for a trade, and that same auto dealer is going to look at it for, 2, 3, 4 minutes and say, well, I can't take this car, or I can't give you very much money for it because it's been in an accident. But if they're selling it on the retail lot, they're they're perfectly happy to do that without telling you about it.
What happens? What's your remedy under those circumstances as the buyer of that car?
And also, the pay here, buy here, they're like a little bit different than some of these dealerships.
Oh, you mean you're paying the dealership on a monthly basis? You're not paying a bank.
Right.
Yeah.
Buy here, pay here.
Right. Buy here, pay here. They're not selling the deal to a bank, right? Because even though all auto dealers, independent and franchise, have a lending license from the Department of Banking in Pennsylvania, they don't want to be a bank. They want to sell the deal right away so they get their profit up front and don't go through the rigmarole of
collecting.
Right. But your recourse is to sue them. You could sue them for what we call common law violations, fraud, negligence.
Wow. That opens up a whole can of worms. I mean, you buy a car for $25,000. It was in an accident. They didn't disclose it. You ask the question. The car is really only worth $18,000. Mm. You got $7,000 in damages. What besides the $7,000, can you collect any attorney's fees or anything else?
So, yes, you can sue under the unfair trade practices law that we have in Pennsylvania, which is up to treble damages as a remedy. It's discretionary with the judge. They don't have to give it to you, but if you prove that their conduct was outrageous, then you can get that. But the important thing is you get attorney's fees.
But let's say you had the car for a couple of years and you've been paying for it. Is there a statute of limitations on how far you can go back?
Well, for unfair trade practices, it's 6 years. So that's really fairly comprehensive for most situations, because people don't typically keep cars for a very long time. They try to trade them. That's very often how they find out. I just described that scenario where you bring your trade to a dealer, they're going to look at it. They want to know if it's been an accident because they don't want to pay too much.
And now this brings me back to something that I do, and I want to just bring this point home here. I represent people who have been involved in car accidents. Mm. I don't often get involved in the property damage piece of it, but I do on occasion. If a client has a fairly new car that's been involved in an accident, in addition to what they owe you to repair your car, they also owe you a diminution in value claim. I myself was the victim of a rear-end impact with the Bentley. It was about $6,000 in damage to repair the car. I collected that, and then I went back to the company that owed me the $6,000, the insurance company for the at-fault driver, and they paid me another $15,000 on top of the six for a diminution in value claim. When I went to sell the Bentley, which I didn't because I didn't get enough money for it, they said, well, it shows on the Carfax that your car was in an accident. I said, yeah, but it was just a little tap, you know.
A $6,000 tap.
Well, you know, in a Bentley, that's not
parts
all that.
Parts are expensive.
It was not that big a deal. I mean, they did not have to replace metal. There was no metal damage. It was.
that's a brake light.
Yeah. And so the people that I was selling it to said, we don't care. It was in an accident, and we're giving you less money. That's so crazy. You have to make sure you get that diminution in value claim. That's an aside. But, Bob, back to you. If somebody has bought that car, asked the question, and they
were specific,
and they did not get the right answer, they were told. Now, what if the dealer didn't know? Like, don't know, don't tell. I mean, like, you get a car in, and you don't do an inspection or look at it. You don't want to know if it's been in an accident because you will have to reveal that. Then what?
They know. They have to recondition these cars before they put them on the lot because no matter how crooked a dealer may be, they also don't want you to drive off the lot and have the wheels come off and you get in this horrendous accident and they get sued for $10 million. They're always going to do the bare minimum at least to make sure that this car is sellable, right? They still have to do a test drive and so forth. So once their experienced technicians look at it, they're going to find these things.
Let me say this. When I go to sell a car back to a dealership, one of the first things they do is they take this paint meter thing, and they go over all the parts of the car with this paint meter, and it can tell them if the car has been painted because the depth of the paint on a repaint is not the same as the depth of a paint of the original.
Yes, that's correct, because when it's painted at the factory, the paint is fused with the metal. So you're not going to get that light. I mean, these are millimeters, so that's why you need the paint gauge to what they call a mill gauge to measure the paint. But that's absolutely – so you could have a panel that has, 4 milliliters of paint, and the factory is one – you know that this car has had some kind of accident damage.
Right.
And it may be just the skin. It could be superficial, but it might be something more significant underneath, which is very common.
Okay, so here I have kind of, in some ways, misinformed our listeners by saying, buyer beware. If you don't have the car looked at and there's problems with it, that's your issue. That's still the case to a large extent. However, if you later determine the car has been in an accident, it's been in a wreck, and you ask the question and they lied to you, then you need to call Bob Coco because Bob's going to get you money for that car. How do they reach you again, Bob?
215-351-0200.
Okay, there you go. So now you're into people for bad cars and bad credit. What's a case that's come up in your career that's significant that you look back and go, I'm glad I'm doing what I'm doing. This proves to me that I'm making a difference in people. What is it?
Yeah, it's definitely a case I had and that went to trial in federal court for. A woman who had a predatory mortgage loan that was that arose from a home improvement sale, which was very common in the early 2000s, that home improvement contractors would go to neighborhoods, historically, poorer neighborhoods that didn't have access to home improvement services. And they would say, well, your home's worth X and we're going to give you whatever you want, the new kitchen and so forth, and just take this loan out. Very often the loans were very expensive and the contractors were either not contractors. The one guy in this case was he just got out of a work release program in jail. He was just a con man and he would, hire drunks and other ne'er-do-well people to actually do the work. And You were lucky if he stole the money from you because the people who did the work were terrible and usually destroyed the homes. So this particular woman had very difficult medical circumstances. She had a craniotomy. She We went to trial with her wearing a helmet. The judge couldn't figure out what he was looking at. He said, now it looks like a personal injury case. But we ended up settling the case during trial. But, talk about a vulnerable person. The judge even said to me, as an aside, that I've never seen a more sympathetic plaintiff than that woman.
Let me ask you something.
That was very
satisfying. We're going to take a quick break, but who paid you? Was it the bad guy, or did he actually have insurance? You can answer that on the other side of this break. Folks, we got to take a real quick 2-minute break. We'll be right back. If you've got a legal issue or question, 215-227-2727. It happens every day here in Philly. You're walking your dog or headed to work, and in a split second, you're on the ground in pain because of someone else's carelessness. I'm Dean Weitzman. For over 35 years, my Philly lawyer has been fighting for people just like you. You can't work. Medical bills are piling up, and you need cash to take care of your family. Slip and fall, we've got you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. Accidents happen. It's that simple, right? I'm Dean Weitzman. Every day someone in Philly takes a fall because someone else didn't do their job right. That's where My Philly Lawyer steps in. You need physical therapy? Check. Need someone to take on the insurance company? Check. You need cash? Check and check. We've been winning for over 35 years. Slip and fall? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. You're cruising down the boulevard listening to your tunes, and bam, some idiot runs a light, messing up you and your car. I'm Dean Weitzman. Bad drivers causing accidents are a fact of life in Philly. Another fact, with over 35 years fighting for people like you, My Philly Lawyer knows how to get you the help you need and make insurance companies pay. Victim of a car accident? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Yeah, baby, we're back. 215-227-2727. Put that in your cell phone. It's the only number you need. You got a legal problem, you call me. I'm going to make sure you get taken care of. We are on 100.3 WRNB.
And Classics 107.9.
We're also on YouTube Live for our listening and viewing audience. And we have the one and only, the infamous Bob Coco in the studio today to answer your questions. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
Mr. Coco focuses his practice. He calls himself, he hails as the credit lawyer. Is that intellectual property? Did you have that trademarked?
I think you're probably recommending I do that.
Yes.
It'd be Mr. Credit?
Yeah.
Because there might be another credit lawyer out there, right?
There may be, but there is no other My Philly Lawyer. I want to just tell you, folks, there's only one My Philly Lawyer. And
just ask the mayor.
Any other lawyers that try to scoop up on my name by, like, calling themselves Philly Lawyer, the Philly Lawyer, Philly Law Firm, they're all just jokers. They're not the original, the one and the only My Philly Lawyer.
There you go.
Speaking of which, I have my new commercials running. And last night, one of the bosses at the casino came up to me and he said, I can't get away from you. He was in the playpen with his kids sleeping when he was awakened by the sound of my voice.
Lord.
And he was the first person that came to me to say that they saw the new TV commercial. So I owe him a shout out, and he just got it. Let's talk to Dwayne on line one. I'm not sure you're going to be able to answer this, Bob. Dwayne, good morning and welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning. Good morning.
What is your problem?
Okay, I have a legal issue. My brother is the only person on a death certificate, and I was trying to become an estate. And I asked the funeral home to amend the death certificate because he's the only one on it. And they refused to say that it looks suspicious.
Can you get in there? He don't know what you're talking about. He went to the back of the story. I'm his wife. Let me tell you.
Jump right in there, wife. Dear. Yes. What? How?
Because he jumped to the back. He jumped to the back of the story. Like the front of the story is, mom passed away. There's a fraudulent will that was written by a niece by hand, and she's saying that mom wrote it. So her and the brother, who's the only one that's a death certificate, they went to the funeral home. So when the funeral home did the death certificate, he only put one sibling when there's four. But this is the same funeral home that has signed off on the will. It's their notary. They do notary, too. So I'm suspicious, like, well, when did y'all meet them? When did she come here for y'all to see a will? Was she in person? They're going to say, no, she told the person to write it. So it just got funny right there. So we went downtown because there are properties and stuff involved, right? And they all are left to this one brother as well.
Okay, uh-huh. So... Let me unpack that because Bob's shaking his head saying, All right, let me just unpack that real quickly. First of all, Dwayne, as the child of these parents, on his birth certificate should have their name. So he can prove that he, in fact, is a heir to their estate. So that's the one thing. So he has his birth certificate with their names on it. Secondly, he wants to dispute the will. He has to file a will contest at City Hall. That means he needs to retain and pay an attorney for that will contest. Having done one of these before, I know what's involved in this. It's not an easy road to hoe. You must prove that the will was created and executed at a time. First off, if it's completely fraudulent, then it's a matter of handwriting analysis. You've got to get specimens of the person's real handwriting, like maybe signed checks or something that we know came from the people who passed away and whose signature you're disputing on the will. That's one thing. So you have to hire a lawyer, and then you have to hire a handwriting expert to analyze the handwriting to say to the court that the signatures on the will are not their signatures. And that all costs money, and then that goes back to me asking, as a new client, I would say, well, how much is involved here? What's the amount of money that the parents that you could get from this? Because it may cost you $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 between legal fees and handwriting experts. And so you want to make sure that if you're investing that money, that it's worth investing, that there's enough there to fight over. And then if it's not a handwriting thing, if they actually signed it, but you're saying they lacked the mental capacity to enter into a will at the time because they were so sick and infirm, then that's a whole different ball of wax. Then you've got to get doctors and look at their medical records at the time that they signed that will to prove that they lacked the testamentary capacity to enter into a will. This is all very expensive and very time consuming, and the courts tend to want to enforce wills. So the burden is on you to prove these things by a preponderance of the evidence. I have some experience in this. I've done this. Very expensive. I was successful. 1 week trial in front of Judge Ott in Montgomery County. Experts from all over the country came in to testify on behalf of the family. We won, but there was a $400,000 estate that we were fighting over. And so there you go. If you want to talk to me about that further, Dwayne and Dwayne's wife, you give us a call during the week at 215-227-2727. 2727. Unfortunately, we're up against it, Coco. We're out of time. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Please come back again. You really do always give our listeners great information. We'll see you next week, folks. Same time, same place.
Thank you.
A paid program of MyPhillyLawyer.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of Urban One Incorporated, Radio One, or any of its subsidiary companies.
WRNB Media, Philadelphia. Mixing live from the My Philly Lawyer Studios. We're setting your weekend off right inside the Saturday soundtrack with DJ H. Vidal on 100.3.